And this is our last morning that we are going to be studying the book of Galatians. We've spent 5 weeks. This is week number six in this wonderful book where the Apostle Paul is giving some insight into how we are to live our lives today as believers. And I'm going to be finishing chapter 5. Last time we were in Galatians 2 weeks ago, we focused on the first half of chapter 5. This morning we're going to be talking about the last half of chapter 5. In chapter 6, I'm not going to be dealing with in this series because there's some things in there that we're going to be talking about in September. And so we'll be hanging on to Galatians chapter 6 and coming back to that a little bit in September. Last week we shared how Paul wrote this warning in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh. We have to guard ourselves against the desires of our flesh. And so Paul's giving these warnings to the believers at Galatia. Because our flesh is something that we can't trust. Our flesh desires comfort. Our flesh desires to lounge in lazy boys and just enjoy ourselves. Aren't there days where you just come home from whatever it was you were doing and you just want to lie down and do all kinds of nothing? Or you just want to just veg out? I mean, our flesh desires comfort. Our flesh desires to respond emotionally to circumstances. You ever responded emotionally to a circumstance? If you don't think you have, allow me to come and step on your toe as I walk past the aisle. I mean, how would you respond if I came up to you and started raising my fist as if I were going to give you a right hook? Everybody in the room might react a little bit differently, but if you're a guy around my age, you're going to start blocking with one hand and you're going to start raising your fist with the other. You're not just going to defend, you're ready to fight back. You hit me, I'll hit you. What is that? That's your flesh. If you don't think you have a flesh that wants that kind of reaction, allow me to cut you off on the 420 on the way home from work. You might find some ungodly responses percolating within you. We respond emotionally. And it doesn't matter how much you love Jesus, it doesn't matter how long you've been going to church, you have a flesh, and it desires to make incorrect decisions. Somebody mistreats you, and you want to respond. You want to get even. You get envious. You get jealous. And so we want to respond in that way. Now here we are, Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be reading from a few verses this morning. Let's start in verse 19, where Paul makes this statement. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul starts off by saying, the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious. They're very clear. You don't have to think too hard to wonder what the works of the flesh are. They're very easy to understand. And these are things that our flesh responds to. Now, some of you might read this list and think, well, not me, Pastor Tim. I get disgusted even reading such a list. Such distasteful activities. Well, that's good. I mean, that's your spirit responding. But when your flesh reads that, your flesh is going, oh, yeah. Yeah. Enmity, strife. Oh, that's fun. Jealousy. I love getting jealous. Fits of anger. I love losing my temper. That's how your flesh responds to this list of things that, I mean, you might read this and you'd go away. You know, Pastor Tim, I mean, let's just not even talk about this. This is just a terrible list of things. But these are things that your flesh likes to do. You like to get angry when somebody cuts you off in traffic. You enjoy that feeling some way, somehow in your flesh. You enjoy responding that way. Your flesh leads you to become jealous and envious. Whether you've had a sip of alcohol in your life before or not, your flesh would love the state of drunkenness. Well, that concludes our service for this morning. Be blessed. I hope you've been encouraged. Just kidding. Paul gives us this great big list of things that our flesh really enjoy to be involved in. But that's not the only side to you. Paul starts talking about this other side to you that is your spirit. And we spoke about this in May and June. That you are not your flesh. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a body. So Paul's talking about this battle between your flesh and your spirit. So Paul continues now to talk about who you are in your spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Paul is saying you have within inside you access to every one of these characteristics. You have the fruit of the Spirit within you. You have access to love. Somebody steps on your toe, you have access to love. You have now, you can choose whether to function in that or not. But Paul's saying you have fruit in your spirit. This is the fruit of your spirit. This is not talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Those are all things that characterize God. But what has Paul just been talking about? The works of your flesh. So what is he talking about now? The works of your spirit. He's still addressing the same person. He hasn't started talking about who God is. So when you read this, and sometimes we think, well, isn't this a beautiful picture of who God is? Well, sure, but that's not what Paul's saying. This is the fruit of your spirit as a born-again child of God. If you've given your life to Jesus, Paul says this is a picture of who you are. These are the things that you have access to. So Paul paints this picture. We've got the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Which list would you rather base your life on? That's the question that I want to ask you this morning. Which list would you rather base your life on? Paul gives us two lists: works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Would you rather enjoy the fleeting moment of sexual immorality, or would you rather experience the unconditional love of an intimate relationship? Which list would you rather live by? Which list would you rather base your life on? Would you rather live in strife and get in jealousy? Would you rather have peace in your relationships with your coworkers and your friends and your family? And what would you rather have? Do you want to hang on to that jealousy? Do you want to hang on to that envy? Do you want to hang on to that strife that's in your relationship? Or would you rather have joy? I mean, which list would you like? So Paul's giving us this comparison here. There's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are this. Well, what's a work? It's a deed or an action that carries out or completes an inner desire. These are activities of the flesh. You have to do these things. You have to work at the works of the flesh. But then there's the fruit of the Spirit. What's fruit? Do you know what the Greek word that Paul uses for fruit means? Fruit. That's deep. They did a great translation. It's fruit. What's a fruit? It just grows. It grows based on something that's already happened. Somebody planted a seed, somebody watered the seed, the sun got on the plant or the tree, and the fruit was the result. Now, I just find this so fascinating that Paul paints us a picture, and he talks about the difference between works and fruit. We don't just have different lists. We have different titles. Now, if I were writing this message to the churches at Galatia, I think I would have talked about the works of the flesh. And then, you know what I think I would have talked about? The works of the Spirit. Doesn't that make more sense to you? Well, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, strife. But the works of the Spirit are going to church, tithing, volunteering in children's ministry, praying, fasting. That's what I would have expected to hear. Here's a list of sinful activities. Here's a list of godly activities. But Paul doesn't give us that. Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about the works of the Spirit. He talks about the fruit. The fruit being a result of something that's already done. There's no activity necessarily required. Why? That's what the whole book of Galatians is about, is that Jesus did all of your work for you. And you just get to bear the fruit. You get to bear the results of it in your life. It's the fundamental difference between these two lists, is the difference between works and fruit. Here's the thing, the works of the flesh are man's attempt at pursuing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The works of the flesh are an attempt at getting these fruits. Why do people participate in sexual immorality? Because they're searching for love. Why do people participate in partaking drugs, or as Paul referred to it in his context, sorcery? Why? Well, because they're looking for a moment of joy. They're looking for something. The works of the flesh are an attempt at pursuing the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is God's attempt at giving you the fruit. When you live off that list, it's given to you. It's a result of what Jesus has done. Here's the lie that we buy into when we act based on the works of the flesh. If I do blank, then I'll experience blank. This is the lie that we tell ourselves. If I take this drug, I'll experience peace. If I feel hatred towards this person, if I allow myself to lose my temper, get angry, and speak my mind, then I will feel goodness. I'll feel good. I'll feel good. It's kind of like Bruce Banner. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Bruce Banner, the Hulk? Yeah, there we go, see? Oh, the Hulk. Bruce Banner, he gets really angry, and what does he do? He throws a work of the flesh. He throws a fit of anger, and he becomes the Hulk. He goes green, but it's okay because once he lets his rage out, he goes back to being Bruce. Isn't that what we all want to do? Pastor Tim, just let me be the Hulk for a little bit here. Just let me go green. And I can deal with my work of the flesh that I want to engage in. I want to speak my mind to my coworker. I want to tell them what I really think is going on. And then I'll go back to being Bruce. It's okay. This is what we want to do. But which list do you want to live from? Because you can't choose both. You can't choose both. But this fruit is something that if you've given your life to Jesus, you have in you. You have the fruit of the Spirit. So you can't say, well, I'm just not a loving person. I'm just not, you know, God just didn't give that to me. I'm just not a loving person. I struggle with loving people. Well, no, you have perfect access to love. You have perfect access to love the most ugly person in your life. I'm not talking about physical looks, by the way. You have the ability to love the most nasty person in your workplace. You have the ability to do that. But you also have the ability to get in strife. Get jealous when they get promoted and you don't. You get equal opportunity to respond. But which list are you going to live from? Which list are you going to respond based on? You may not be operating in love, but you do have the ability to love others. So people chase after and they want to experience the works of the flesh in hopes of attaining this fruit in their lives. I remember hearing a story of Pastor Joel Osteen who was going through the drive-thru. The drive-thru is a wonderful place for you to be tested in your fruit. He was giving his order to the probably newer person that was there at the McDonald's, and he was explaining very simply what kind of a hamburger he wanted, and it was a very simple order, and the person kept getting it wrong. You know, well, sorry, did you want no mustard on that? Did you say onions? Sorry, how did you want, what kind of a drink did you want? Did you say this? Did you say that? And Joel Osteen just started losing his patience, and he just thought, you know, I just got to bite my tongue and just be nice to this person. I just got to love this person. He had his family with him in the back, his kids in the back, and he just felt everything within him wanted to lash out at this person, this incompetent McDonald's employee. He bit his tongue. He kept his cool. He drives up to the drive-thru window. The cashier opens the drive-thru window and goes, oh, Joel Osteen, I'm reading your book. I've been telling all my coworkers about it. I love your sermons. It's changing my life. Could you imagine what would have happened if he had lost his cool? Could you imagine? Now, a little bit more pressure on poor Joel, who everybody knows, and, you know, people, everybody has an opinion on Joel Osteen. A little bit more pressure on him. But good on him for keeping his cool. You will, at every turn, have an opportunity to function according to the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. But what list are you going to choose? You get an opportunity to get in strife with somebody. Wow, that's an opportunity to love somebody. That's an opportunity to love somebody. You know, the Bible says where there is envy and strife, there is every evil work. Every evil work, the Bible says. Core issue is envy and strife. You got to guard yourself against that. When you want to respond to somebody who you think just did you wrong, you got to guard yourself. I remember as a child, often I'd find myself waiting in the front hall for everybody else as a family when they were getting ready, and I don't know why, but I seemed to be the first one who was ready in the household. I'd have my shoes and coat on and be pacing in the front hall asking, yeah, where are we going? I mean, sorry, when are we going? When are we going? Okay, is everybody ready? I'm ready. I got my shoes on, got my coat on. Are we going? Are we ready? Can we go? When are we going? I thought we were going now. Why am I wearing shoes if we're not going? And my mom would say, Timmy, you just got to be patient. You know, we'll be going in a few minutes. And I'll never forget my response. Say, Mom, I'm just not a patient person. I'm just impatient. That's who I thought I was. Now, that's the last time I ever made that statement. My mom looked at me and said, you are patient. I didn't understand where she was going with this. She had heard this sermon. I hadn't yet. She said, you have patience. You have patience. You have to choose to be patient. You can be patient. It's okay. We'll be going soon. It's okay. And it bothered me because I thought, no, I'm really not patient right now. Like, I'm not. Like, I'm telling you the truth. I'm impatient. This is who I am. And that's how I saw myself. But see, my mom knew something that I didn't know, is that when you are a child of God, you have fruit in you. You have access to responding appropriately. You have fruit in your life. So when you feel a tendency to respond without patience, you got to remind yourself about your fruit. You got to remind yourself of what you have. We got to start with the fruit and ask yourself, am I operating in love? Am I operating in joy? Do I have joy in my life right now? Or am I just pursuing happiness? Is my joy centered in vacation 3 weeks away? Because that's not joy. That's just momentary happiness. Vacations are great, and I'm looking forward to mine. I hope you're looking forward to yours. But that is not joy. That's not joy. You got to have joy in your life in the midst of the busiest week in your life. That's when you will find out what kind of fruit is in your life. I believe that the Christian life is a matter of discovering who you already are. Somebody should write that down. I think that's good. The life of a believer is discovering who you already are. So you read this list in Galatians and you go, wow, this is me? I have love. I have joy. I have peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I have self-control. Yeah, you do. Maybe nobody's ever told you that before. But this is your fruit. Now, you didn't work really hard to get it. You didn't have to go to a course to train yourself to operate in peace and patience and kindness. You don't have to. Why? Because that would be a work of the Spirit. This is a fruit, which means Jesus just gave it to you. He just gave you the ability to function according to fruit. And so the next time you feel yourself functioning in hatred, remind yourself that you've got love on the inside of you. The next time you feel depressed, remind yourself that you have joy in you. It's a part of the fruit. It's part of the package. The next time you feel like you're losing your patience, call my mom. She'll remind you that you have patience. She might use some strong words to tell you so. You have patience. It's in you. The next time you start feeling guilty or condemned about sin, remind yourself that you have goodness in you. You have faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit in you. That you have self-control, which means next time you get to live in victory instead of fall into sin. Hey, look at this package that you get. So the next time you start to wonder who you are, pick up your Bible and read Galatians chapter 5. And don't start with the fruit. Start with the flesh. These are the works of the flesh. You read through the list of things that you see there that Paul says, these are ungodly things, and people who participate in these ungodly things will not inherit the blessings, the promises, and the kingdom of God in their life. And then you begin to read about who you are. Begin to declare the fruit of the Spirit over your life. And this will be up on the screen here. I wrote this out just this morning as a declaration. I live with joy unspeakable. I have peace in my family. I have patience with others. I act in kindness to my coworkers. I am good to my boss. I am faithful to my God. I act with gentleness towards my kids. And I have self-control fully functioning in my life. You begin to declare this over yourself. This is who I am. I may have lost my temper this morning at breakfast, but I'm a new person now because I just found out I got peace in my life. I got patience in my life. I've got self-control. 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 Notice self-control. Have you ever prayed, God, take control of my life? He's going, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? I've given you fruit. Self-control. I've given you the ability to do what's right. You're either living by the works of the flesh, which leads to pain, disappointment, and struggle, or you're living by the fruit of the Spirit, which God has given you so that you can enjoy your life and live in victory. My question for you this morning is, which list are you building your life on? Which list do you have more faith in? Do you have more faith in your tendency to throw a fit of anger? Or do you have more faith in the fruit in your life to respond with goodness? Where do you attach your faith? Because if you build your life on the fruit, you'll experience the kingdom of God. Paul says those who participate in these works of the flesh, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're going to miss out on blessings. So we can go ahead and shimmy that over to the fruit of the Spirit and say, if you engage in what's yours as a child of God and you function according to the fruit in your life, you will inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
That's exciting. You get to inherit the kingdom of God. So don't think it's no big deal next time that you're tempted to be rude to somebody and you choose to hold your tongue and speak a blessing over them. Don't think it's no big deal. You just engaged in receiving the kingdom. When you're nice to your waitress at lunchtime, you're opening yourself up to receive a blessing of the kingdom of God. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that you have placed within our spirits. At the very moment that we gave you our lives, at the very moment we said that Jesus is our Lord, you gave us fruit. You gave us supernatural ability to love and to have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness in God. You gave us self-control. And we thank you for what it means to be able to walk in the manifestation of your kingdom. Lord, I thank you for reminding us of your fruit as you've given to us as a gift. And Lord, I ask that you would seal this word within our hearts, that we would operate according to the fruit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the works of the flesh are about doing, but the fruit is about being. It's just who we are. It's who we are. I'll ask you to prepare. We want to be a blessing.